As I had mentioned before, that we have the learning is going to be in memory of Leiloi Nishmas Ilan Tokair. I do not have his name. Again, an alumnus of TABC, 2003. And in the words of Rabbi Jachter, who sent it to me, a role model of a Ben Torah and a true mensch. So again, all learning tonight is in memory of Ilan Tokair. We are very honored to hear Shir now from Rabbi Simon. So without further ado.
Okay, thank you so much. Shuster Rebbeim, Talmidim, welcome. So I'd like to speak a little bit about Toshav Chasav, Toshav Al Peh, Purim, things that are coming up in the near future, and tie it in, etc. Okay. So Purim, we know, is the Yontif of Kabbalah Satorah. Right? Where does it say that Purim is Kabbalah Satorah? What's two words?
Kimu
v'kibul. What's your name?
Ephraim.
Helka. You're the son of my friend Rabbi Helka? Which Helka?
Rabbi Daniel Helka.
My good friend. So send regards. We started here together Marosh HaKolol 1978. He came the year before me. But I came in 10th grade. Okay, send regards. We just were together recently. So send regards. Okay, Kimu v'Kiblu. So what is Kimu v'Kiblu? What does Chazal say? How does Chazal darshan? What's your name?
Ezra
Sepulitz. Sepulitz. Who's Sepulitz?
Not like a rabbi.
Jamie Sepulitz?
Yeah.
Okay. My Talmud. So you're related to Rabbi Noam Weinberg?
Yeah, he's my uncle.
Yeah, of course. That's North Shore. That's Okay, very good. Okay, so the Chazal say, Kimu v'kimu, kimu mashekiblu kavar. They accepted what they already accepted once before. So they re-accepted the Torah. Now why did they have to re-accept the Torah in the time of Purim? What is your name? Whose brother? Ephraim Hefka. Oh, you're also Hefka.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, a couple of hard to dig. So, the first one was slightly coercive, so this one needed to be, like, their own will.
Right. So, the Gemara says in Shabbos that when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, it was under duress. Kofalim ha-kigigis. So, therefore, they had to re-accept again, because it wasn't a full acceptance of the Torah. So what's the famous kasha of Tosfos? Tosfos kasha is, but Nasa v'Nishma, what do you mean it was under duress? They said Nasa v'Nishma. So what's the answer to that kasha? We had a question. Simple question. Chazal say, Kofa Mleim HaKigigis, that they were forced. Hashem picked up the mountain and put it on top of their head and say, if you accept, fine, if not, so I would accept also. Right. But they said Nasa v'Nishma, so isn't that an acceptance? So what's the answer to that kasha? Who asked that kasha? Tosus in Shabbos, so Nadav. Kofalim Lepechesra on there. So either you can tell me what Tosa says, or you can give your own teretz, or you tell me what the Medrash Tanhuma says. You have three choices. You can tell me what Tosa says, or what the Medrash Tanhuma says, or what you say. I'd rather say would tell me what you say, because I know what the Tosa says and I know what the Medrash Tanhuma says, but I don't know what you have to say. Any volunteers? What is your name?
Absali.
What?
Truman.
Schumann?
No, Truman.
Truman, like the president.
No.
Fruman.
Yes, Truman, yeah.
How do you spell that?
K-R-U-M-A-N.
Well, Truman, okay. I don't know any Krumans, what can I tell you? And know, Truman, not Krumans. Okay, so.
They said it after, they said not to mention it after the rocket called over. Can you say that?
Maybe. Yeah. What's your name?
Ellie Rubin.
From where?
Tina. From
Penn. Originally from where?
Manhattan.
Rabbi Rubin? No? From Ramaz? No. Okay.
Maybe they were willing to accept the Torah, even if they were under grip. So, like, they had Arkanai above them, except they were perfectly willing to do it, even if it wasn't.
Yeah, so, but then, wouldn't that have been a good acceptance?
Yeah. So they
but Chazal say it wasn't a good acceptance.
Well, they haven't gotten over that.
Right, but you said they would accept it anyway, you say.
Yeah. Look at some needs.
Right, but then if you're perfectly willing to give it, even if they wouldn't have been, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that, so then maybe they wouldn't have had to re-accept it. What's your name?
Mazin.
Rabbi Howie Mazin?
Yeah.
That's your father?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't think that Chazal means that the Mount really held over them, but rather it's after seeing this big awe of our Sinai and Yom Mitzrayim. And
oh, so you're saying maybe it's not to be taken literally. Right? One second, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Who said that before you? What? You know who said it? The Meshech Chachma. You heard of the Meshech Chachma? The Meshech Chachma was written by Ramea Simcha of Davinsk. You can buy one at the Sfarim sale, I'm sure they have one there. The Meshech Chachma says that it doesn't mean literally, it means that what? There was such a Gilui Shechina that of course they were going to accept. I mean, in other words, if you see Kviyochel, you see the Gilui Shechina in front of you, so it's not much of a challenge to say, I'll accept the Torah, because you know, you see it in front of you. Yeah, but so how does that answer the question? So the Meshech Chachma says like you. What's your first name? Yehuda Mazin. Yehuda. So the Meshech Chachma says like you. That it was, so therefore, it wasn't really literally a mountain on top of them. It means there was such a revelation that of course they were going to say yes. That's the Meshech Chachma. Looking inside, okay? So how does that answer the question?
Oh,
very nice answer. Very nice. You should write your own sefer. Right? In other words, he's saying that Purim is a time of Golos, it's Hester upon him, right? What does the Gemara say? In Kulin, Kuflava test, Esther Minatora Minayin. Right? Esther upon him by Yom Ahu. Right? So Esther Minatora. So he's saying that the Kabbalah Satorah over there was only if there's a Gilui Shechina. But who says they would accept it even if there's not a Gilui Shechina? So that's why they accept the Purim when there's no Gilui Shechina. When it's everything is Derech HaTeva, there's no Hester Panim. That's nice. I like it. Your name? Moshe?
Lopshit.
Okay.
I don't think maybe it's that the Kabbalah Torah at Har Sinai wasn't valid, but like we see throughout the Torah that Jews tend to have a lot of crises of faith. You know, asking is God really among us at Mara and things like that, and their faith, you know, needs to be reacquired, which. which is usually by some miraculous event. And, you know, lifting a mountain out of the ground is pretty miraculous. And then, you know, I guess after the decree to have them killed, that they could be legally exterminated, essentially, they needed something to restore their faith, and they saw this miracle, and their faith was restored again.
They saw the miracle. You mean, in other words, they celebrated Nasa V'Nishma, but after Nasa V'Nishma, maybe what?
You know, times went on.
Times went on.
They were stuck in the desert for 40 years. You know.
Oh, okay. I'm going to get back to you in a second. What is your name?
Rabbi Davis.
Davis. Rabbi Davis from Florida?
Yeah. Yeah.
Send regards. Huh? Send regards. Mr. Erwin Katz?
Yeah.
We were very close. Boston, the Boston days. Okay.
So maybe we could suggest that B'nai Israel was going to say not to Mishma, but anyways, the mountain was just, like maybe Hashem had a little word that B'nai Israel was going to turn back due to the pressure at the moment. So to ensure that they didn't, Hashem knew they wanted to say not to Nishma, but just to make sure they wouldn't go back and.
Who says that? Who says that? You're saying it. What's your first name?
Avrami
Davis is saying it. But it happens to be that Tosis said it also. So you're having to Tosis. That Tosis says that in Echanami they said Nafsa V'Nishma, but you know, what's the phrase in English? Cold feet. Hashem was afraid they're going to get cold feet at the last minute and not accept it, so he had to like make sure it went through. Make sure the deal went through. That is the opinion of what? Tosus. And that's Avrami Davis' opinion. Okay. So now, what's left? So now, you guys said your opinion, very good. All said very nice things. And we saw Tosus' opinion. Now the only thing left we have now is to explain what? The Medrash Tanchuma. Where is the Medrash Tanchuma? Which Parsha? So Parsha is Noach. Believe it or not. Parsha is Noach. It's only in certain editions. You have to get the right edition. And you have to look it up. Everything you sowed in life, I'm going to tell you now, if you want to grow in learning, anytime you hear something in learning, you always afterwards have to go and find it inside and look it up. Or else it's going to be here today and gone tomorrow. Okay? Remember what I tell you now? In 20 years from now, you'll come to me and you'll thank me. And you'll see how much you learned because I'm telling you the secret. Okay? There's no such thing as ba'avir. Everything you have to inside. Inside. That's what my old Talmidim, I give them packets. Because this, I make it easier, so they do everything inside. But if you're not getting a packet, you have to look it up yourself. Okay, I'm going to tell you Medrash Tanchuma, but if you don't look it up yourself, it'll be gone tomorrow. Okay, so what's the Medrash Tanchuma's answer? You ready? Medrash Tanchuma says that Nasa V'Nishma was on Torah Shebichsav, and Kof Aleim HaKigigis was on Torah Shebalpeh. Because Torah Shebichsav, it's relatively easy. You know, it's more straightforward. It's not requiring so much effort, etc. But Torah Shebal Peh, Gemara, as you know, Gemara is Gemara with Mefarshim and more Mefarshim, etc., is very intricate. So there you need a bigger push. And that's the difference. So therefore, that's why Svarim bring down that Purim is considered a Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh. Because the fact that it was under duress, that was Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav was the Nasa V'Nishma, so they didn't have to undo anything. You understand? Torah Shebichsav was the Nasa V'Nishma. Torah Shebal Peh was the Okay, Torah Shebichsav is Nasav initial Toshom post Kavlam Hakigigis. So therefore, that was the one that had a problem. So we had to reaccept it in Purim. So now another question I want to ask you is: so why at this juncture? In other words, okay, there was a problem with the acceptance of the Torah Shabbat Peh, it was under duress. But why, at this point in history, why Dafke at this point of history did they have to accept it again? You had the question? In other words, okay, there was a problem, but they could have accepted it at any time. Well, why at this specific point? What's your name?
Okay. Because now what they were basically, they were in Golos, and the end of Golos was coming up, so it's more like now it's kind of like a test to see if they accept it, they deserve the end of Golos.
What do you mean it was the end of Golos? Like you mean the end of Golos because they're going to go back there to Israel?
Yeah.
70 years. So therefore, it was the end of Golas, so therefore what?
So therefore, even though you don't just get, Hashem wanted, you need to be tested, they have to re-accept the Torah.
Very nice. Nice try. In other words, since the Golas, the 70 years were over, so before they could graduate to go back to Eretz Israel, they needed a final exam. So this was like the final exam, whether they were going to re-accept the Torah. Excellent. I like that. Excellent. Excellent. You have excellent Talmidim here. What do you say? What's your name?
Harry Meister. So, similar to... the ending is similar to... is basically exactly what Itai said. But I feel that perhaps because the Jews were in... just like maybe when it was said that there was a giant mountain over their heads, that in cases where they feel... fearful for their lives, or in cases where they're safe, where there's some kind of a chance of redemption for them, or like a chance that they've had a life-saving event and they've just been saved from mass execution, that kind of instilled a fear of Hashem or a love of Hashem in their eyes. Therefore, maybe they would think to say Nasa the Nishma, that I believe there must be something.
Where do you refer to?
In particular, like, they would say, we will listen, like, they actually just played, like, now that they see that they were just saved somehow by this mass execution, maybe that they were now just realizing there has to be something greater than just some one person who could have saved us.
So since they were saved at the time of Purim from Haman's decree, so this was a time that... Hashem thought it was apropos that they could appreciate to be mekabel. Okay, also very good. What's your name again?
Mason.
Right, Mason, right, sure.
Well, the reason I feel that Hashem said that now it's time to make we have to make the Torah was because at this point in Jewish history, there is going to be a big descent from our proximity to Hashem. Because around this time, it's the end of the period in the DM and the beginning of when the whole reliance on Israel and the biggest source connected to Hashem is now going to be the Torah Shabbat Peh. So Hashem thought about further than now at this time. Because the Israel has going to be the big most to connect to Hashem and they understand the role of Hashem as the Torah Shabbat Peh, they now have to accept that more closely.
Okay, also good. Very good. Yeah. What's your first name?
Shlomi. So maybe you could draw a parallel between Torah being the, in some respects, like Dvar Hashem Hanikla, meaning that was something that Bnei Yisrael knew was shown to them basically at Har Sinai, and was definitely said by Hashem. They may have been a bit more reticent to accept the truth of Torah Shabbat Peh, or something about like the divine origin, just in terms of validating it as the word of Hashem. So the Esther story, with there being such an aspect of Nes Nistar occurring, I think it would be a bit appropriate for the Jews to recognize that, that kind of Torah Shabbat, the Torah Shabbat Pet, which is less flashy in terms of the way Hashem revealed it to us. I just think that would be a more appropriate time for them to.
So why now? Why now? Why explain?
Just in terms of the naseness that occurred during Torah.
Right, the naseness is, and Torah Shabbat Pet is more Nister. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Torah Shabbat Pet is not so flat. I mean, they didn't have the flashy things as the Luchos Rishonos. Is that?
Yeah, essentially.
So now is a good time. Good, good. Well, excellent Terutzim. Avrami?
So maybe you could sort of draw some sort of parallel between Mount and Harsinai and the situation here in Megillah, that they really both were situations of duress. So it's just a lot more obvious by Harsinai. There was literally a mountain over their heads, and Hashem said, "Oh, hey, now take the Torah, I'm going to drop it." But by the Megillah, however, the issue with the Jewish people, it was they were Yesham Amuzam Farami Ben Amim. They were spread out. Sort of, they really needed to come together and like unify themselves as one in order to not be destroyed. So the best way to do that is like by everyone coming together, following the same Chukim and the same Mishpatim. So whether it's Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat, a matter of coming together and unifying, but the same duress in both situations.
So therefore, what? Therefore, since the Haman said they were Amufuz and Mufurad, so therefore.
So therefore, they need to come together. And
the
best way to establish unity is by
another
Mamad
Hartzina,
another Kabbalah
Satorah. Excellent. Very nice. As he's saying, Kabbalah Satorah was Ayichan Yisrael, was unity. So Haman is saying, Amman Mufuz and Mufurad, so we now have to recreate Mamad Hartzina. Excellent, excellent. Yeah. What's your name?
Ezra Baron.
Baron. Which Baron?
I think that's the idea of Torah Shabbat Pet, similar to the idea of Purim, which is that, you know, Hashem, they see that even though, unlike Torah Shabbat Pet, where the whole thing was, you know, a lot of it was Hashem performing miracles for Bnei Yisrael, and, you know, they saw that, and therefore they accepted Torah Shabbat Pet. Here, it's like Hashem, you know, Hashem saved them, and they still are accepting that He saved them, even though it's not clear, with like an outward miracle. So if it was Torah Shabbat Pet, which they're accepting now, you know, it's not like, stories of Hashem, having Hashem performing miracles to the Jewish people, but it's like, you know, us discussing the other man discussing the law, so it's similar to, you know, Purim where Hashem wasn't outwardly doing any miracles.
So He wasn't outwardly doing miracles, therefore?
Therefore, now, saying they see now, like, even though Hashem isn't, like, clearly with them, like, they don't see that themselves, they still know that He's with them.
Right, right. Why? What's the connection?
The connection is that the Torah Shabbat Pet, like I said earlier, is not as flashy as Torah Shabbat.
Right, right.
It's not, you know, Hashem performing miracles.
Right. Okay, excellent. I'll tell you one other pshat. It's found in the Sefer Yaros Dvash. Have you heard of the Sefer Yaros Dvash? Who wrote the Yaros Dvash? Yonatan Leibschutz. You can probably get it at this farm sale. There's nice, a lot of nice new additions. So this is what he says. He says, in the time of Purim, of Haman, that was a Muhammad of what? Muhammad's Amalek. Right? Now, Amalek stems from who? Esav. And what's Esav's big mitzvah that he was Hebrew? But Chazal say, and the Pasuk says, Kitzai Befiv. In other words, he had Hebrew, that's true, but it was only what? Misafa lip service, Misafa lachutz. So he says, if we're coming to combat Amalek, right? So Amalek has a big schus, you know, even if it's lip service, kibbut aveim. But it maybe wasn't solely fully sincere, but it was lip service, but he still did it. Now, if our Kabbalah Satorah is only also misafav lachutz, because we were duress, so it wasn't a full thing. So then we're no better than Esav. So how are we going to win the Milchemes Amalek? But therefore, it was necessary for what? For to re-accept the Torah. So our Torah shouldn't just be what? Be Sofa V'lachutz, but it should be something with great sincerity. And that's how the Yaros Dvash and that's what the pasuk right before B'Shalach, before the end of B'Shalach is Vayovo Amalek, Vayochem. What's the pasuk right before? Who's the Malkorah here? Or your Bar Mitzvah Parsha, B'Shalach? In Ein Hashem Bekirbeinu Imayim. There's a saying, is Hashem really Bekirbeinu? Is it really, you know, inside? Or it's just Misofa V'Lachutz? So therefore they needed, and therefore if that's the attitude, so then Vayavo Amalek. Because if you don't have anything sincere inside of you, so then you're no better than Amalek. So then Amalek can come and start fighting with you. Because Amalek is from Esav. Esav had the exclusive Kibarav. And then right after that pasuk, when they said that, it's Vayavo Amalek. So therefore, says Rav Yonis and Aivshus, they needed a new Kabbalah Satorah. Because if they can't rely on the old Kabbalah Satorah, then Amalek will destroy them. Okay, so let's just review. What did we discuss? We discussed the concept that there's Kabbalah Satorah on Purim, even though there was Nasa V'Nishma, and Tosa says because Hashem was afraid that they were going to back out the last minute, even though they said Nasa V'Nishma, they have cold feet. The Medrash Tanchuma says that the Kabbalah Satorah was on Torah Shebichsav, the Nasa V'Nishma, but the Kofalem argues Torah Shebalpeh, and a lot of beautiful answers that you guys gave, but you should look up the Medrash Tanchuma inside, you should look up the Tosis inside, okay? Make sure you look it up inside. 1 second. And then we also said over the Meshach Chachma, should look up that inside. That what? That it wasn't like Harav Mazin said. It wasn't a literal thing, but it meant that they saw the Gilui Shechina. So that was. And then we discussed why was it necessary to accept the Torah at this particular juncture. And also you gave beautiful terutzim. And then I said over the Aras Tavash that the Muhammad of Amalek had to debunk the schus of Amalek from Esav of Kibbur Avein, which was only Misafa Lachutz. Our Kabbalah Satorah has to be something more than just Misafa Lachutz. Is there somebody you want to say something? Yeah. In Shabbos, in the Sugya there by Peches, Pezayin, Peches there, you'll find it. Okay? So, but that's a big yisod that you have to look up everything inside. If you don't look at it inside, you'll forget it all. So if you want to really become a Talmud Chacham, everything you hear from now, the rest of your life, you have to say, I want to see it inside. Someone says a Ramban, I want to see exactly where it says it. And then you'll become a Talmud Chacham if you keep doing it for many years. Okay? That's the Yisod. It's Torah Shebal Peh, but you have to see it B'Chsav. And one last thing. Tell me a big... What's the major difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh?
The Torah Shebichsav is written in Hebrew.
Anyone else who didn't speak up yet? Okay. Who are you? Who? Yeah. What's your name?
Rami Levin. For a lot of it, you could learn it on your own. You could just read the Torah. But for Torah Shebal Peh, to learn it, you're going to need a Rebbe to go teach it to you, to speak the Torah Gemara. It's all oral.
That's an excellent point. You know who said this pshat? Rav Moshe Feinstein. Many years he came, this is before my time, but Rabbi Rillig told me this, that many years ago he came to speak here in YU to the Orthodox Jewish scientists, and he said over the pshat, the famous pasuk that we say in davening every day, Magid Rav Yaakov, Kukov Mishpatov Yisrael, right? L'asachem l'chol goy. means Chukim Mishpatim, this week's Pasha, Mishpatim. We have Losachem B'chol Goy. So what does that mean? Goyim, they have Mishpatim also. They have Chukim also. So what's the difference? So Rav Moshe Feinstein said exactly what you said. Magid Rav Yaakov. That Achukim U'Mishpatim, see, there's a big Svarim sale across the street. But you can't, you'll never become a Talmid Chacham if you just have Svarim. You need to have live Rebbeim to give you a Mesorah, to teach you where to look, what to look, how to think. If you just have the, put you in a library and lock you up there for 50 years, you won't become a Talmid Chacham. You only become a Talmid Chacham if you have Rebbeim who will point out, you should look over here, you should look over there, give you a Mesorah. So that's where Moshe Feinstein said, Magid, the Rav Yaakov, the oral transmission of Magid, that's Lo'as HaChem L'Goy. But when it comes to the secular world, if you go to law school and you have discipline and you have patience, you'll sit in the library, you read the law books, and you'll master it all, and you'll be fine. But Torah is a whole different thing. But one last thing I want to share with you from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Who's the Shulchan Aruch HaRav? Balatanya, who was the first what? Babich Rebbe, what was his name? Shneur Zalman of Ladi. So he wrote a Shulchan Aruch, right? Called the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And he has in Yerodeh, he has a special Kuntras Talmud Torah. And one of the famous things he said, that the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh is that Torah Shebichsav, you get a mitzvah just reading it. If you open a chumash and you just read the words, even if you don't understand, it's still a mitzvah. Obviously, it's better if you understand. Don't get me wrong. But if you open up a mishnayis and you just read the words, it's no mitzvah. Because Torah Shebal Peh, the mitzvah is the havana, is understanding. Torah Shebichsav, the mitzvah is even what? Kriya. And Rabbi Bronchbigel, in a sefer quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, that he said that's why Torah Shebichsav is called what? Mikra. Because there's a value just to the Kriya itself. Torah Shebal Peh is called what? Mishnah. Because the Lashon Mishinatam Levanecha, it's learning, understanding. And if you don't have that, then you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. So look up that Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Rav's word is quoted in Rabbi Bronchbigel say from Bikuri Abba. You can look that up as well. And okay, I welcome everyone. Thank you all for coming. It was very nice spending time here with you. Come again, and maybe I'll come. Sometimes I come to TABC, so it's nice to see you all. And you should be matzliach in all you do, and have a freilich and purim, and all the best.